Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals, presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Brought to you by Quaker Oats. Fourteen-year-old Jerry Carraway and his sister Marion had gone to the Yukon after the death of their parents. Their uncle, Charlie Carraway, had taken them into his home. And while his stepson, Brad, obviously wasn't pleased with the arrangement, Charlie was happy to have his niece and nephew with him. During the summer, Jerry spent a great deal of time exploring the country around the cabin and his uncle's mine. One morning, he returned to the house excitedly.
Marion! Hey, Marion!
What is it, Jerry?
Where are you?
In your bedroom, making up your bunk.
I want to show you what I found near the entrance to the mine.
Well, what did you find?
A gun. Look.
You say you found it?
Yeah. I'll bet somebody lost it a long time ago, sis.
It certainly looks as if it had been lost for a long time.
I'm going to clean it up.
You mean you want to keep that rusty old thing?
It's a perfectly good gun. You'll be surprised to see it when it's cleaned up.
You will never be able to clean that, Jerry. Why don't you throw it away? It probably doesn't work anyway.
Oh, the trouble is you just don't know a good gun when you see it, sis. Wait till Sergeant Preston sees it. I'm going to ask him to show me how to use a gun next time he comes here.
You expect to take lessons with that?
Sure. Say, do you have any old rags I can use? I'll need them for cleaning cloths.
Look in the closet in the kitchen. But if I were you, Jerry, I'd throw that gun away.
Jerry kept the gun and worked each day to clean it. And each day he looked for Sergeant Preston to come to the cabin. But the Mountian King didn't arrive until late in the fall. The day they made the 12-hour trip from Dawson to the Carraway place, Jerry wasn't at home.
Oh, come in, Sergeant Preston. And you too, King.
Thanks, Marion. Come on, boy. Whatever you're baking smells mighty good, Marion.
Jerry's favorite cookies. I promised him that if he'd be home at noon, I'd have a surprise for him.
Very pleasant surprise, I'd say.
You're the best surprise he could have, Sergeant Preston.
Oh.
He's been hoping to see you for months now. Oh, sit down while I take the cookies out of the oven.
Thanks. Where is Jerry?
Oh, he and Uncle Charlie are at the mine.
I understand your uncle's growing richer by the day.
Oh, that report's slightly exaggerated, but the mine is paying off well. Jerry and Uncle Charlie spend hours in that tunnel every single day. In fact, I think Jerry spends too much time underground.
Does your uncle want Jerry to work in the mine?
Oh, no, it's Jerry's idea. He'd love to tinker with the mining machinery.
Well, doesn't Brad help his father?
Well, no, he's away from home a great deal, Sergeant.
He's been seen a lot in Dawson.
He's there now.
I see.
I'll put the tea kettle on the stove, Sergeant. Jerry should be here any minute.
That will please King. He'll be glad to see Jerry.
King remembered Jerry and had looked forward to seeing the boy. As Sergeant Preston talked to Marion, King walked about the large kitchen, waiting for his young friend to appear.
What is it, King?
Oh, he's found the oiled rags that Jerry's been using to clean that old gun.
What gun?
Oh, it's there on the shelf, Sergeant.
Huh?
Jerry hoped to have it cleaned and shiny before you got here. I knew that was a hopeless job.
A Colt 45, eh?
Mm-hmm. Jerry found it months ago. The traveler must have lost it, or perhaps it was thrown away. There's so much rust on it, it's hard to tell whether or not it ever worked.
Well, it worked all right. Very well, too. Tell Jerry to be careful when he handles this gun, Marion.
You mean it's dangerous?
All guns are dangerous. This one's so rusted the cylinder can't be turned.
I know.
There were cartridges in it. See them?
Yes.
You should soak this gun in oil and remove those cartridges.
Oh, we have plenty of oil, Sergeant Preston. I'll put the gun in it right now.
As Marion filled a pan with oil and immersed the rusted old weapon, three men were at the entrance to Charlie Carraway's mine a short distance from the cabin. One of the three was Brad Carraway, Charlie's 22-year-old stepson. The other two were known as Flint and Red.
Well, the blast's set ready to go, Brad.
Are you sure there's enough powder to do the trick? My dad's likely to be way back in the tunnel.
Well, that's where the damage will be done.
Will the entrance be sealed?
Look, when the blast lets go, it'll shake the whole mountain. Dirt and rocks will slide down the hill, block the entrance.
Good. That's the way I want it.
Hey, Brad, from what I hear, this is one of the richest mines in the Yukon.
Well, what about it?
With your step farther out of the way, it'll be yours.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be a mighty rich man.
I figure getting a mine should be worth more than $500 to you.
What are you fellas trying to do? Up your price on me?
Look, our price is cheap for what you'll get.
Maybe we should forget about the blast.
No, I don't want to take a chance of my dad making out a will and leaving part of the mine to my cousins.
You'll not have to worry about that if we do this job. Of course, you think you don't want to pay $1,000.
All right, I'll pay. You already have $500. I'll give you $500 more. Now put a match to that fuse, Flint. Red and I'll go over behind the rocks and wait for you.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Hurry, ladies. Today is your very last chance on this program to hear how to get a beautiful hand-painted spoon rest. Don't miss out on this special bargain in the popular apple pattern chinaware offered now at amazing low prices on packages of delicious Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats. It's the genuine handicraft of the Tennessee Mountain folks, hand-painted under the glaze. I'll bet you'll want to order the whole set when you see your lovely apple-pattern spoon rest. It's so handy, too. Holds a dripping spoon while you're cooking. It's perfect for jelly, mayonnaise, nuts, as a coaster or ashtray. Makes wonderful Christmas gifts. This hand-painted spoon rest is a $1 value that's yours for only 40 cents and one blue star from a package of economical, nourishing Quaker or Mother's Oats. Now, this is the last day of this radio offer, so listen carefully. For each spoon rest, send 40 cents in coin, your name, address, and blue star from a Quaker or Mother's Oats package. I'll write down the address now. It's Quaker China, Box 1088, Chicago 77, Illinois. Send tonight to Quaker China, Box 1088, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now to continue. Jerry Carraway had left his uncle working deep in the tunnel of the Carraway mine. Seconds after Flint touched a match to the fuse, Jerry was walking through the dark cavern he knew so well.
Who's that?
The boy was puzzled when he saw a stranger outside of the mine. The man was running from the entrance, running fast. And then Jerry heard him shout and saw two others behind distant rocks.
Hit the ground.
I wonder who he is. Something must be going on out there. I better see what it is.
Jerry was near the mouth of the tunnel when suddenly... The explosion knocked Jerry from his feet. And at the same instant, the earth seemed to shudder and crumble with the impact of the blast. After firing the blast that had trapped Charlie Carraway and Jerry, Brad and his two friends ran for the horses they had hidden nearby.
Where to now, Brad?
Back to Dawson. I want to be there when news of the explosion hits town.
Come on, get them. Head for the woods and keep going.
Right.
Come on.
Get up there.
The sound of the explosion had reached Carraway's cabin half a mile from the mine. Both Preston and Marion were startled when they heard it.
Sergeant!
Sounded like an explosion.
Oh, Jerry and Uncle Charlie are at the mine. Do you think they
will... We'll go there at once. Come on, King.
Sergeant, I hope nothing's happened to them.
Easy, Blackie. Up you go, Marion. We'll ride double. Come on, Blackie. Get up now.
The great dog King reached the scene of the disaster ahead of his master. He clawed at the rocks and dirt piled high at the mouth of the tunnel.
Come on, Blackie. Come on, Marion.
Then, as Preston drew rein and dismounted, King stepped back and studied the entrance.
The entrance is sealed, Sergeant Preston. They're trapped inside.
It isn't completely closed. King's found a way in, climbing over the rocks and dirt. Careful, boy!
sliding and clawing his way to the narrow opening at the top of the block tunnel, King suddenly disappeared from view.
He's gone.
He's inside the tunnel. You go to the cabin, bring a couple of shovels and a pick. I'll do what I can till you get back.
Oh, but Jerry and Uncle John...
Hurry, Marion. There's no time to lose.
All right, Sergeant. Come on, boys. Get going, Sergeant.
As he waited for Marion to return, Sergeant Preston scooped dirt and rocks from the entrance with his hands. Meanwhile, inside the tunnel, King had found Jerry. The mighty dog nuzzled the boy's face, but there was no response. Jerry lay motionless and silent. King nudged the boy's shoulder and gently touched his face. And then he knew why Jerry lay so still and quiet. His legs were pinned to the ground, and he was unconscious. Outside the tunnel, Marion brought Sergeant Preston's black stallion to a halt.
Oh, Blackie! Oh, boy! Oh, there! I couldn't find a pick, Sergeant Preston, but I brought two spades.
We may not need a pick. The dirt's loose.
I'll help you.
All right.
For some time, there was no sound but the rhythmic scrape of metal against rock as the Mountie worked steadily to clear the tunnel entrance. To Marion, it was a back-breaking task, but the girl refused to give up until Sergeant Preston said...
Stand clear, Marion. We're nearly through.
Oh, I hear King inside the tunnel.
We're coming, fella. There! That does it. I'll go in, Marion.
I'm coming, too.
You know where Dr. Cannon lives?
Yes,
take my horse and bring him here at once.
All right. But do you see Jerry or Uncle Charlie?
Not yet. King, find them, fella. Where are they, boy?
A few moments later, Sergeant Preston knelt beside Jerry. He felt for a pulse.
He's alive, King. I'll raise that timber from his legs, and then we'll look for Charlie.
Preston moved the timber, pinning Jerry's legs to the ground. And then he and King tried unsuccessfully to find Charlie Carraway. Jerry regained consciousness in his own bunk. Marion, Dr. Cannon, and Sergeant Preston were with him.
The blast!
Take it easy, Jerry.
How'd I get home?
Doc and Sergeant Preston made a stretcher and carried you here, Jerry.
Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Jerry.
And King. There was an explosion. Sis, what about Uncle Charlie? Where is he?
The tunnel was completely caved in a few feet from where we found you, dear.
He was trapped.
Doggone old fool. I thought he'd given up using blasting powder.
But, Doc, we weren't using blasting powder. Somebody set that blast. I saw them.
What's that, Jerry?
I was near the mouth of the tunnel when I saw a stranger running toward the rocks. He was looking back over his shoulder at the mine. Two other fellas were behind the rocks, waiting for him.
Did you get a good look at them?
One had red hair, and the man running from the mine had a black beard. I'd know them both if I saw them again.
Jerry, are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. The third man was wearing a plaid jacket like the one Brad has. I didn't have a chance to tell Uncle Charlie. He was working deep in the tunnel. The blast went off so sudden, sis.
Oh, there.
But Uncle Charlie, sis, he's still in there. We gotta get to him.
No, we will, darling. Just lie back.
Yeah, it'll take weeks to reach Charlie. Can't be done without men and machinery. Nobody could have survived that cave-in.
Yes, I know that.
Jerry's right. Someone murdered Charlie.
I'm going to those rocks outside the mine now to look for tracks.
Jerry mentioned Brad.
Only his jacket. I understand Brad's in Dawson.
Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Everyone knows he had trouble with his dad.
What kind of trouble?
Money trouble.
Huh?
Charlie told him if he wanted more, he'd have to work for it. Brad didn't like that. Well, I'll get along home. I have to send my boy to Dawson. I need special medicine for Jerry.
Tell Marion that if King and I find the tracks we're looking for, we'll follow them.
Right.
Come along, gang. Oh, Blackie. Oh, boy. Come on, gang.
Sergeant Preston dismounted at the rocks near the tunnel entrance. Then he and King examined the ground nearby.
Three men were here, all right.
The Mountie studied the tracks carefully and then said...
We'll follow them, boy. Understand, fella? Steady, Blackie. All right, King. Come on, Blackie.
The trail was an easy one to follow. With King in the lead, Sergeant Preston set a steady ground-covering pace for his horse. Halfway to Dawson, King stopped abruptly.
Ho, ho! Ho, what is it, King?
Preston dismounted, and as he looked closely at the tracks, he understood why King had halted.
Oh, the three men separated at this point, eh, King? Well, it'll be dark soon, boy. We'll stay with this set of tracks here.
Easy, boy. Go ahead, King. Come on, Blackie.
Darkness fell, but King kept to the trail. The mighty dog followed the scent of a horse and rider. In a roundabout way, the scent was leading King and his master to Dawson. By choosing the shortest route to town, Dr. Cannon's son, Bill, reached Dawson nearly an hour ahead of Sergeant Preston. After securing the medicine the doctor needed, Bill went to a cafe to get a hot meal before starting the 12-hour trip home. As he relaxed over his food, he told what had happened at the Caraway mine. While men crowded around Bill to hear the news, Red hurried from the cafe. He went directly to a shack on the outskirts of town, where Brad and Flint were playing cards.
Flint, Brad.
What's the excitement, Red? Has news of the explosion reached town?
If it has, I'd better get set to act the part of a bereaved son.
You better get set to act before you get your neck stretched.
What?
I just came from the cafe. Doc Cannon's son, Bill, is there.
Well, what about it?
Doc sent him to town for medicine for young Jerry Caraway.
And the kid's alive.
Yeah. Not only alive, he saw us setting the blast. He's already talked to Sergeant Preston. Molly's following our tracks right now.
Well, we came into town separately.
That won't fool Preston. Flint, if the kid lives, he'll identify us.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm already in trouble with the law. Preston figures I had anything to do with that blast, you'll arrest me on general principles.
Maybe you'd better get out of town, Red.
Not a chance. Nobody ever outrun Preston. I'd better stay right here and play dumb. But something's got to be done about that kid.
Yeah, Red's right, Brad.
What'll we do?
Fix it so the kid can't identify us in a court of law.
Kill him?
We tried it once. This time we'll make sure he's dead.
But the blast at the mine might have been an accident.
With the kid alive to say it's murder?
No, I mean, how will we fix it so Jerry's death looks like an accident?
Hey, look. Tie him and his sister. Then set fire to the cabin. They'll burn to death. The fire will destroy the rope so there'll be no sign of murder.
Yeah. That's a good idea, Red. Red, get set to travel. We're going back to your place.
Flint, you just make sure the kid can't identify us. I don't want to hang.
Nobody does.
I'll wait for you here.
Aren't you coming along?
No. Preston has enough on me as it is. I'll stay here.
Shortly after Brad and Flint left town, Sergeant Preston dismounted in front of the cafe and went inside. He questioned several townsmen before getting the information he sought.
Sure, Sergeant Preston, I know the fellas you're talking about. Brad Caraway wears a plaid jacket. Flint has a heavy black beard. And as for the redhead, that's Red Hudson.
So Red Hudson's in Dawson.
Yes, sir. He might be at Flint's shack near the outskirts of town. I'll tell you how to get there.
The great dog King had lost Red's trail soon after reaching Dawson. But as Preston headed for Flint's shack, King picked up the scent of the man he had been following. It led directly to the shack.
Oh, buggy. Oh, boy. I understand, King. All three of our men may be in here.
Hey.
Hello, Rand.
Preston.
I want to talk to you. Get back inside. Steady, King. Quiet, boy.
Look, Preston, I don't know why you're here.
I'm investigating a murder, and you're one of the suspects.
For me? Look, Sergeant, you have the wrong...
Where are your two pals?
What pals?
Brad Caraway and Flint.
They're not here.
Where are they?
How do I know? You want them? Why don't you find them instead of wasting time asking me questions? I don't know anything about any murder.
I think you do.
You can't prove a thing against me.
I'll prove that King followed you from Caraway's mine to this cabin.
He followed me?
That's right. He picked up your scent behind the rocks where you waited for the blast. The blast that killed Charlie Caraway.
Oh, that's a lie.
What's your alibi? Not going to waste time with you, Red. You'd better talk fast.
The grim purpose in the Mountie's face panicked the frightened killer. He looked about the cabin like a trapped animal seeking a means of escape.
Look, Sergeant, I know my past record's against me, but give me a chance.
I'm not interested in your past record. This time I'll get you for murder.
No.
Where were you at noon today?
At noon? Well,
I...
Red knew he couldn't produce a convincing alibi. He knew Preston wouldn't rest until he had the truth, and the truth would hang him. Throwing caution to the winds, Red desperately grabbed for his gun.
We'll settle this right now. Hey!
King leaped for Red before the gun was out of its holster. He caught the killer's wrist between his...
Drop the gun, Red.
Oh, this dog!
Drop that gun!
Yeah, yeah.
That's better. All right, King. Let go, boy. Quiet, King. Reaching for your gun admitted your guilt, Red. Talk and you may save your worthless neck.
Is that a promise, Sergeant?
Merely a suggestion, Red. Whether you follow it or not, you're going to jail.
No, no. I'll tell you, Sergeant. Started when I met Flint and Brad.
In an effort to escape Brad, the hangman, Red talked. He told how Brad had plotted his stepfather's death.
Wanted the kid killed so he wouldn't be alive to claim the mine.
What about Marion?
Well, Brad figured he'd maybe give her a few $1,000 to get out of the Yukon after it was all over. But Brad and Flint are on the way to the cabin now to kill the girl and her brother.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. And now, here comes your old friend, that famous teller of tall tales, Gabby Hayes.
Say, did I ever tell you fellas and girls about the biggest log rolling contest ever held by the lumberjacks in the Yukon? And who got crowned? Well, sir, a big bulldog-looking critter from a rival camp was laying for me in the finals. One look at that huge varmint, and I decided to take no chances. So I grabbed me a bowl of good, nourishing, hot Quaker Oats. Then my muscles begin to bulge with the growing power you get from Quaker Oats. New energy started surging through me from the giant of the cereals. You know, you get more strength, more energy from oatmeal than from any other whole grain cereal. You're darn tootin'. So we both started spinning the big log in the river. Our feet was going lickety split. With a lightning quick reverse, I got that feller off balance. I started spinning him faster and faster until whoop! Up in the air he went and down into the water. Why, that varmint made such a splash, the water fell like rain in them parts for 32 days and 47 nights. Yes, sirree, Bob. So you fellas and girls do like old Gabby does. Let the giant of the cereal help you grow bigger and bigger. Every morning, eat a heaping bowl of delicious, creamy Quaker Oats. Of course, everything I say for Quaker Oats goes for Mother's Oats, too. Because, shucks, they're exactly the same.
Now to continue. Brad and Flint reached the Caraway cabin early the next afternoon.
Hello there, hello. Brad, you better go in first and make sure the girl and the kids are alone.
Good idea, Flint. You wait here, I'll call you.
Brad, I'm so glad you're here. Something terrible has happened.
I heard all about it. Are you and Jerry alone?
Yes. Doc Cannon left about 15 minutes ago. Oh, close the door, will you, Brad?
Sure, I'll close it. Just as soon as I... Come on in, Flint.
Wait.
Don't move, Mary.
Oh, Brad, what's the idea of the gun?
You're alone, eh, Brad?
Oh, Brad, who is this man?
My kid brother will know me.
You? The black beard.
That's right, sister. Where's the kid, Brad?
He must be in the bedroom.
I'll wrap him on the head. What? I'll tie the girl's hands and feet, and then we'll set fire to this place.
Right.
Oh, no! No, you stay away from Jerry. Leave him alone.
Stand still, Marion, or I'll shoot.
Don't shoot her. I want this to look like an accident.
Then grab her and tie her hands and feet. Let's get this over.
Stay away from me.
Hey, Brad, she has a gun.
That's right. Now, get out of here, both of you, or I'll shoot.
Don't let her bluff you with that old cannon, Flint. It's not loaded.
You sure of that?
Of course I'm sure. Jerry found that gun. It hasn't been fired in years.
All right, put it down, sister.
Don't come any closer.
Watch out for the gun, Flint. She might hit you with it.
I'll grab her arm. You close in from the other side.
Right.
Oh, you dirty killers.
Flint, what's wrong? What's going on in there?
Now grab her, Flint.
Sure thing.
No.
As Flint reached to grab Marion's arm, the terrified girl tightened her grip on the old gun. She was about to use it as a club when suddenly...
Oh!
It went off.
Oh, no.
The bullet that had been lodged in the cylinder struck Flint. He staggered back and fell to the floor. Too surprised to move, Brad Carraway stopped in his tracks and stared at his wounded friend. At that moment, the door opened, and Sergeant Preston entered the room with King at his side.
Sergeant Preston!
A quick glance at Flint, the gun in Marion's hands, and the horrified expression on the girl's face told Preston all he needed to know.
The gun, it went off!
That gun probably saved your life, Marion.
She shot my friend. I saw the whole thing, Sergeant Preston. She murdered him in cold blood.
No, that crook was coming toward me. I was going to use the gun as a glove.
You're lying.
Put your hands up, Brad.
Why?
You're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
Arrest? For what?
For murder. Your friend Red told everything. He told me you were coming here to kill Marion and Jerry.
He lied. He's trying to frame me.
I'll keep Brad covered, Marion. You look at Flint and see how badly he's hurt.
Oh, he looks as if he's dead.
Listen, Sergeant, I know the law. Red and Flint set the blast. I'll testify for the Crown.
It's too late for that. Red beat you to it.
You mean I'll go to jail? Go on trial?
And you'll probably hang for the murder of your stepfather. What about Flint, Marion?
Oh, he's alive, Sergeant Preston. I didn't kill him.
I thought not. The bullet struck him in the shoulder. After we handcuff Brad, I'll look at the wound.
Oh, but he's so still.
Probably struck his head when he went down. He'll be all right in a few minutes.
Sis, come and tell me what's going on.
Oh, that's Jerry. With both of his legs broken, he isn't able to get out of bed.
Please come here.
Just a minute, Jerry.
You'd better go and tell him it's all over, Marion.
Yes, I'll have to tell him his gun works. He'll want to see you, Sergeant Preston.
I'll be there as soon as Flint regains consciousness. I want Jerry to identify Flint and Brad before I take them to Dawson. Put out your hands, Brad.
Sergeant Preston, listen to me, please. I didn't mean to
now
do
that
it.
You're to pay the penalty for what you've done, I suppose you're sorry, Brad.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Tell that to the judge when you go on trial. As far as I'm concerned, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
Children and grown-ups, this is your friend Aunt Jemima reminding you of those fluffy, golden Aunt Jemima pancakes, old South good and lightest you can bake. Only Aunt Jemima pancake mix gives you the lightest pancakes ever with old South flavor. For lightest pancakes, tastiest buckwheat, golden waffles, try Aunt Jemima's.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a killer named Travis has escaped from the jail in Big Ridge. Go after him at once and bring him back.
I'll do my best, sir.
In spite of the fact that he is not a killer, Travis is wanted for murder. He knows he's been framed, but he doesn't suspect that he was betrayed by a partner he trusted. As Sergeant Preston begins the manhunt, the betrayal is incomplete, for the treacherous partner has plans to frame Travis for still another murder, the murder of Sergeant Preston. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Sunday at this same time by Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Oats, the giant of the cereals. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.